queue. So, a very big welcome to everybody. Lovely to see all your faces on the screen. Yeah, it's always a kind of, I always feel a little bit excited, a little bit nervous at the beginning of a retreat, whether it's online or in person. And it's just so lovely to be with you all and looking forward to a week of exploration and practice. So, there's a few new faces and a lot of familiar faces. So, I thought it might be worth just introducing the team. So, I'm Bodhi Leela. And I'm going to be co-leading with Paramananda. Paramananda, do you want to say anything?
Well, no, I just say I'm Paramananda at the moment.
Yes, at the moment you're going to change it to someone else soon.
Might say more in the.
Okay, and we're very lucky again to have Pranyanita as our organizer and Zoom host. Do you want to say anything, Pranyanita?
Hello and welcome, everyone.
So it is very nice that we've done a few retreats with this team, so we kind of know each other and kind of got a little bit of a routine there. It's such a while since we've done one of these that we kind of were just thinking, can we remember how to do it? What we do. What works, what doesn't work, but anyway, that will emerge along the way. So yeah, that's the team, and well, it's a little bit different being on an online retreat, as people who've been on online retreats know. I have a complete convert actually that I think you can have a very meaningful experience doing an online retreat. It's not the same as a retreat in person when you go off somewhere in your residential and staying with people and out in the countryside, but it's different, but it's also possible to make connections, to go deeply in practice, and find yourself in different places. Find yourself having awareness, insights, experiences that you have created the conditions through being on the retreat. But yeah, one of the things that I just think we need to be really aware of is, it's not as self-contained as if you're on a residential retreat. You know, you make the journey, it's often quite a long journey, so you have that transition period. And then you arrive, and there's a bit of settling in, finding out where your rooms are, getting some bedding, probably having something to eat, and getting a little bit of introductions, and maybe going into the shrine room for a dedication ceremony that first evening. And it takes a day or two to sort of settle and find your feet on a residential retreat, but you're not getting distracted by your everyday life and work and people and neighbours and all that kind of stuff. And you don't have the constant temptation just to do whatever's your go-to thing. You know, maybe you want to binge watch something on TV, or, you know, there's a lot of things that we might do that are readily available at home, and we can just do it, can't we? Well, you might. Also the transitions from the end of the sessions, you know, if you want to stay in a kind of internal reflective space, you maybe have to be a bit more conscious about that. And maybe you're doing this alongside work, alongside family commitments, or all kinds of other stuff, and so it'll be a different experience. It can still be a valuable experience. But just encouraging you to try and create the best conditions for yourself you can over this week. And if you can, reduce input. If you can, find some times that are more where you can be by yourself, go out for walks, have a little bit more quietness, stillness. You probably will get a little bit more out of it. Yeah. Anyway, and just those transitions from the end of a session, you can just switch off your device and then. That's the end. Or you could even keep your device on and just go surfing the net or something. So just again, be aware of transitions and trying to keep some continuity of practice and reflection while we're on the retreat. So yeah, there's some practical things about being on the retreat. So I'm just going to pass you back to Pranyanita, who's our organizer. So it's a slightly different role organizing on an online retreat, but it's also very much that whole thing where you're holding it and you're an interface and people can contact the organizer and with anything that comes up. So, Pranyanita.
Yeah, so I will be organizing on this retreat, and that means that you can contact me to, yeah, if you need anything or if you want to let us know whether you're coming or not coming or whether you need anything, you're welcome to write to a teaching@westlondonbuddhistcenter.com email, and I'll pick those up during the week. And I'll be also organizing our groups during the retreat, and we will have the same groups throughout the retreat. So if you, I think Bodhilila might say a little bit more about groups, but and it's really great to have that opportunity to share with others. But if you were not to be in groups, if you can let me know, because then that will affect how I organize the groups for the week. And also, I know we've got some people from different parts of the world who are running on different time zones. So some of you will be relying on our recordings and will be meditating with us or practicing with us during the some sessions, and then doing other sessions through the recordings. So we will have a web page where we will upload the recordings. And again, if there is any issue or anything, let me know. And in a moment, when I stop talking, I will put both the email and the web page into the chat. And also, you would have received an email which got both of those in the email. So yeah, just contact me if you need anything. So back over to Bodhilila.
Thanks, Pranyanita. And I think, well, you said I'll say a bit more about groups, so maybe I'll say a bit more about groups. So again, it's different doing a group online to when you're in person. But one of the things that I've noticed during this time of lockdown, doing courses and retreats online, is that people get so much from the connection and sharing and being listened to and witnessed during the groups, if it's just for a short amount of time. And certainly over a retreat, if you're in the same group, you can get a sort of, it can be a little bit like a somewhere to check back in, a bit of continuity, which is a bit harder to do online, because otherwise we're all just by ourselves. So for some people that's really valuable. If you prefer not to, that's your choice. But you could even just try it out and see how it feels. And they're not like discussion groups where we're giving you questions and things to reflect on. It's really an open space to, you might have thoughts or reflections that are coming out of your practice or talk on the retreat or your experiences on the retreat as the retreat goes, because everyone has their ups and downs. We all have our journey during the retreat. And there may be some times that feel a little bit more challenging and sometimes that feel more inspiring. And it's quite nice to be able to just check in with people and sometimes share that. But yes, I think it's just really important to trust your own feeling about what's right for you as well, because you may just want to be much more internal, and it might feel a little bit jarring to have the group, but in another way it might also support you throughout the retreat. So see how it lands with you, what fits for you. So I think that's all the sort of stuff I'm going to say right now, but Paramananda's going to introduce the kind of theme-ish of the retreat, and then we're going to have a dedication ceremony. Then Paramahansa is going to lead us in a mantra and meditation. So we're going to be having a little bit more talking, and then we're going to go into some practice. Yeah, and depending on the time, we might do another mantra at the end. So I'm going to pass you over to Paramahansa now.
Thank you, Bodhidharma and Bhagavanita. And thank all of you for coming on the retreat for the week so together. Bodhidharma has already used the word explore. Bodhidharma actually came up with the name of this retreat. And because what she's given us is not an idea, but an image. Yeah, so it's very much an image, isn't it? Roots in the sky. It was just say that to yourself, and probably most of you will have some fairly definite image. Contra natural image, isn't it? It's the opposite from what we would normally think of. Roots going down, and then you feel like going up into the sky. And so it's presenting us with a slight sort of paradox. And there's not a right or wrong way of interpreting an image. Why we use image, or why image is interesting to us as meditators, is that they have a certain kind of resonance, that they activate your psyche in a particular way. And they might activate an image like that, might activate you physically. You might be able to feel it in your body. It might activate you emotionally in all sorts of different ways. You know, to some extent, you might think it's quite a disturbing image, or maybe it's a very positive image. When I was thinking about it just now, as we were getting ready to start this retreat, what came to my mind was some sort of suggestion that perhaps the way we normally think of meditation can be inverted. So I think most commonly people think of a higher state than when we're talking about some kind of spiritual practice, spiritual path. We're quite often concerned with developing higher states. And I think we probably, most of us, tend to think neither above her. But what the image suggested to me was that, you know, maybe there's a going down that takes you up, you know. So we've inverted this sort of process. So rather than thinking we're trying to achieve higher states, we're trying to achieve a kind of a going down, a deeper intimacy with ourselves, and that perhaps this going down eventually opens out into the sky, or opens out into spaciousness. Yeah. It is an image that sort of suggests spaciousness as well, isn't it, for me? So I think it's quite a nice place to start, just having that image and seeing what it does. I'm not giving you any kind of definitive or correct interpretation, just because there is no such thing with an image, but you should be interested in how it activates you, if you like. What's your response? What's your association? What happens when you hold that image? And in a way, this is a rather good motif for what we're trying to do as when we meditate. We're just trying to have a deeper sense of what's actually happening with us. Yeah, I think we can oppose this to thinking that we're trying to make something different or higher or better happen to us, or more subtly, that the way to actually have something different is to take a greater regard of what's actually going on now. Perhaps when we're not attentive to how we are in the present moment, it doesn't allow us to move into the next, which is still in there. We're always sort of held in certain patterns, certain habits, certain ways of thinking about ourselves, certain ways of experiencing ourselves. We're just sort of stuck in that because we never quite fully turn towards what our experience is. So these are some of the sort of things we'll be exploring, but not so much. We won't be exploring them intellectually so much. That's just trying to investigate them through practice. That's a self-investigation, if you like. Perhaps we should imagine this tree inside of ourselves, not external. Mapped into our body. And then see what it does like that. I mean, the spine has a certain, the spine is quite often invokes a sort of image of vine or ladder or tree. So anyway, we'll be playing with images, not particularly that image or exclusively that image, but that'd be one of our ways of working, just trying to find what images do resonate for us and allow us to enter more fully into ourselves. So we'll be meditating together, we'll be talking together, we'll be practicing together, and we'll see how we get on, eh? I don't think I say any more at the moment about that. I think in a minute we're going to be doing a dedication ceremony. So this obviously is a beginning, isn't it? And you're dedicating your own self, really. We dedicate the space, but of course, it's really more than anything the inner space of ourselves that we're dedicating. We're making some initial kind of contract with ourselves to try and be more present with our experience. And of course, you're also perhaps trying to dedicate the place that you're sitting in, your own home, you know, which has its own God, the home, and can be a great kind of comfort and support for you in a way. Maybe try and make your little space that you're meditating in supportive to what you would like to allow to unfold, you know, how you would like to unfold within this practice that we do. So I'll be saying a bit more tomorrow morning. So I'll hand back to Bodhilila for the anything she wants to say and the dedication ceremony.
Thank you, Paramananda, and I'm already feeling, yeah, something's happened from you just talking about that and the images and allowing that image to have an effect to activate, you know. I don't know how it's activating me, but I know something's happening, and I actually know that the image has been in my head an image associated with it. And yes, when we do the dedication ceremony, of course, there are various images there. But I was very, very taken with you making so explicit about that we're dedicating, you know, the inner space as well as the outer space, as well as the particular space that we're practicing in our homes or wherever it is that we are right now. And there's also this sort of virtual shared space. So we've got this kind of collective space and individual space, and so much of it is within our imaginations as well. And something about the dedication ceremony, yes, about that contract with ourselves to try and be more present, to go deeper, continuity of purpose and our intentions, you know, connecting to inspiration and aspiration in terms of the three jewels of the Buddha. And depending on how you feel, you know, the Buddha, one who is awake, our own potential to be awake, awakening our hearts and minds. You know, we've all got those qualities, the Buddha nature within, that can be activated. And the Dharma, the truth, the path, the teachings, Sangha, the spiritual fellowship of both the enlightened beings, the awakened beings, the Bodhisattvas and the Buddhas, that we will be calling on some through mantras and through ritual and having as part of the retreat alongside us, and maybe figures that we can allow to have an activating effect on our psyches if any of them touch us in that way. And also, yeah, for me, they do create people that I can, well, not people. There's something about having the presence, they're very mysterious, but there's something being able to have their presence alongside us, not just us as retreatants, but we might also have Buddhas and Bodhisattvas alongside. So yeah, with the dedication ceremony, we're trying to create a sacred space, really. And if we were at a retreat centre in the Shrine Room, it might feel a bit more literal that we were trying to create a sacred space in the Shrine Room by saying these words, but it's always not just that space within. And you've got a lot of the image there of the mandala, and you also have images of flames, transformation, the Vajra, diamond thunderbolt, indestructible diamond thunderbolt, but that's that symbol of reality and of wisdom, insight, protecting us. And also petals of the lotus, and the lotus that unfolding, and I guess another image that resonates a little bit with the image of this retreat, because you've got the lotus with the roots in the mud, you know, that's kind of part of it, that it grows in the mud and it goes out into the sky through the water, and that's unfolds, blossoms, and is another image, metaphor for awakening, growth, development, spiritual growth and unfolding. So how will we unfold during this retreat? We don't know, but it's nice to be open to see what will happen. So if you'd just like you to get yourself in your meditation posture, in a moment I'll start the dedication ceremony, and we'll do this in call and response. So I'll say the words, and then Paramanda will be responding, and if you stay remoted but respond in your own homes or wherever you are, so we are all doing it together. And then after that we'll have the mantra and the meditation. Dedication ceremony. We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
To the Buddha.
To the Buddha.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma.
To the Dharma.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
Path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha.
To the Sangha.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our mind.
To the observance of the five precepts.
To the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
To the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
To the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
We dedicate this place. We
dedicate this place.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
Here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
The happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
The benefit of all beings.
With body, speech and mind.
With body, speech and mind.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place. Chandniya, Padmasambhava, Narasvati, Avalokiteshvara mantra. I've got the Lotus family, the opening, us opening reveal the jewel inside. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Shani Padme Hum. Om Mani 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 Padme Hum. Just letting the breathing settle. having a sense of your internal space and your external space, the kind of inside and the outside. Might notice how the breath always suggests this sort of awareness, and drawing in and down, and releasing up and out. If you can let the breath soften the body from the inside out. Any areas of holding or discomfort, you can just imagine breathing in some spaciousness. Trying to release, particularly in the legs, which are the roots in a way. And this, face going down, you might notice as you release the roots down, the upper body is encouraged to open upwards. We've got inside and outside that we're allowing the distinction to soften slightly as we breathe in and out. Also noticing the dynamic relationship between releasing downward and releasing upward. The face relax. If you can let your face soften a little. We're just breathing and noticing how we are, particularly at this point. Our beginning of the retreat, just noticing how we are. Where we have a dedicated outer space in order that it supports that. Yeah. So try and let your condition, though they might not be perfect, nevertheless, try and allow our conditions to support it. These conditions include being with other people on a retreat, albeit online, still with others. As you sit here breathing in and out, and also have a sense of the other people breathing in and out. Is the earth under us physically supporting us? Includes the sky above us, we sit for meditation, we ground both down and up, shelter in the sky. The holding of imply one another. One never makes sense without the other, does it? Have ground, you have to have sky. Just feeling into your posture, just trying to reflect or inculcate this dedication in the body itself. What would it be to dedicate ourselves fully through the posture? Through this breathing posture, we take up in this world of ours. In community with others. So we just sit with our breath and our experience for a little while. Maybe just noticing what's happening. Where you are, you're still present. Whether you've gone sort of out or in. Collapsed inside or gone off somewhere, as it were. Well, let's just say if you have, just very gently using the breath to bring you back into a more balanced awareness, sense of your inner state, your inner space, sense of the space around you, the outer space. Noticing how the two are always in relationship, just like earth and sky, you in the world, always in a dynamic relationship. The world supporting you, like literally through the breath and through the earth. Imaginatively, in many, many ways. Just relax and try to not do anything. See what it's like, just trust ground, trust the breath, trust your own body, trust the world. Like when you just leave things as they are. Not fantasizing, not catastrophizing, just simply as they are. Well, I think maybe we'll leave it there for this evening. And let's say anything she wants to say before we finish. We've got time.
Well, just thank you very much, Paramananda. And there'll be a meditation 8 o'clock. Very simple, just unled meditation with bells, maybe a very short reading. So it'll be lovely to see you there. And then at 10:30, Paramananda will be leading the morning session. So we'll be alternating days, so I'll be there the next day and then he'll be back. And then in the afternoon, we'll both be there. So be very lovely to see you tomorrow, if you can make it. And have a good evening.
Tomorrow morning.
Hello?